Thank you so much, Bliss. Yes, I'm very pleased to be in the performance studio here at WRTI 90.1 with extraordinarily talented and very charming pianist Jenny Lee. Jenny, welcome.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Jenny, you're an astral artist and you're playing a very important concert on Sunday, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
It's your debut for astral artists, a recital at the American Philosophical Society. And I know you've brought some of your music to share with us today. What would you like to start with?
Yes, so I would like to start with Beethoven's 32 variations, Wo 80, and in this case, Wo in German means work without opus number.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you. bravo. That was fabulous. If you're just joining us, I'm Deborah Lou Harder. I'm in the WRTI Performance Studio with pianist Jenny Lee, and she's just performed Beethoven's 32 Variations in C Minor, Work Without Opus 80. Wow, fantastic.
Thank you.
I just love the way that you brought out so much color, and also the structure of the piece was so clear, and of course, impeccable technique. It's hard to believe you just got off the plane this morning, very early this morning. You were traveling in New England, I believe.
That's right, yes. Yes, so we were doing a tour with Haifa's Institute. Mm-hmm. And it was a very memorable week. Last week, we had the best lobster for sure.
Great.
And we did a lot of chamber music together. The president of the festival, Ben Rowe, was there with us the entire week. And we talked about music, talked about career. It was a truly inspiring week for me, yeah.
That sounds amazing.
And also tiring.
And tiring. I think you slept 2 hours, but it didn't sound like that. I want to ask you, you are so in the moment when you perform.
Mm-hmm.
I know that you must be exhausted from having just gotten off the plane and with the very busy tour you just had, but how do you summon that energy that you have and the incredible focus that you show when you perform?
That's a really good question. I think for any musicians, the focus doesn't come from a mental practice. It's rather just the music itself has such a strong thread,
mm-hmm,
that just couldn't stop your attention, you know, being away from it for any second. And for this Beethoven's piece, I felt truly I'm just always with it. And there's some such strong force and power behind this piece that doesn't require me to focus. It kind of just comes with music.
Well, that's truly a gift. And you're opening your program on Sunday with this piece, I believe.
That's right.
So you're giving your Philadelphia debut for Astral Artists this coming Sunday at 3 o'clock,
mm-hmm,
at the American Philosophical Society, the Benjamin Franklin Hall. So I hope everyone can run down and get tickets. They can get tickets at the door, I believe.
That's right. And or on the Astral website.
Astralartists.org.
Yes.
It's a huge program. Tell me what else you're going to be playing.
Yes. So the theme of the program is called Debussy on the Orient Express. So it's because my love for Debussy, and also it's a very special occasion since it's the centennial anniversary for Debussy this year. I don't think I could get by without doing something for this special occasion. So I had a really I was fascinated by the topic of Debussy and Orientalism, and I was this actually came in response to a book from Edward Said, who was, mm-hmm, a very, very famous scholar that pretty much defined Orientalism, and in his notion of geographic spread of Orientalism, which really corresponds to how Debussy sees it, is the Far East that we know of today, and also the Middle East, and there's also Spain and North Africa and Russia as well, which is why my program included, you know, works. The two preludes are both from Spain, and also it has some Indian influence, and then the Poisson d'Or bears the Japanese, Chinese, Far East influence, and then the second half we have Albéniz, which really bears the Spanish influence, as well as the last piece on the program, which is a big work by Mussorgsky's pictures that bears the Russian influence. So.
Wow, it sounds incredible. So much color. And I understand you're also going to be playing with Matthew Cohen, a piece of chamber music.
That's right.
And you're doing a world premiere. Can you tell us about that?
Yes. As for the collaboration with Matthew Cohen, it's always been such a pleasure to play with him. He's a phenomenal violist. As for the world premiere, it's by the well-known composer Samuel Zeman. So he was a very, very inspiring figure in my life. So when I was in my undergrad, he was one of my theory teachers, and thanks to him, I was able to discover truly masterworks and Mahler symphonies that he was able to walk us through what really happened musically and mentally. And all of that was really eye-opening for me, for someone who was, you know, 19 years old. So he, and then on top of that, he was almost a mentor for me in a way that as a student at Juilliard, we gave recitals every year, and all of us gave recitals, but he was so supportive that he came to every single one of them since a decade ago.
Oh my goodness.
So that was really touching to me, and he didn't have to do it, but he, you know, he made time to listen to me. So he really saw me grow. So I thought this is very special to commission him.
So he wrote a piece for you that you're going to be performing. It's world premiere on Sunday. Will he be there at the performance?
I think so.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be amazing. You have won so many prizes, and you have got an exciting career ahead of you, but mm-hmm. things weren't always so easy for you starting out. You were telling me that mm-hmm. you came to music a little bit late.
Right.
In China.
That's right. So I was born in a smaller town, or comparatively speaking to mm-hmm. Shanghai, Beijing. So we didn't have a very formative education, you know, in terms of classical music. So when I first heard piano, I was six, and I was really, really intrigued, and I begged my parents to buy the piano for me. So, but it was much harder after buying the piano. That moment wasn't so hard. So finding a teacher and to lead me the right way was very difficult.
Yes, you said that one of your first teachers kicked you out of his studio, and your dad had to teach you, and he didn't know how to play the piano, but you've persevered. Mm-hmm. And then what happened when you were 11 years old?
Yes, so it's at that point that the local teacher, who was the best in town, told me that he couldn't teach me anymore, that he referred me to somewhere, to his own teacher at the time, and she was teaching in the conservatory. So she was closer to more professional training that really influenced me today. I had to leave the town to pursue the piano studies with her, with that professor. And she was about 9 hours by train ride. As a result, so I think I was finishing up my elementary school there locally. And my parents rented a one-bedroom apartment for me so that I could have regular lessons with her every week. You know, it wasn't so easy for, you know, at a young age to take care of oneself. Mm-hmm. So my parents, they would come every weekend to do laundry for me and cook for me for the entire week. And sometimes just teach me how to put the two ingredients together and stir fry.
At the age of 11, that's so incredible that you were sent on your own to study with a very good teacher, but the results speak for themselves. Really gorgeous playing. I just wanted to mention one thing before we get back to some music mm-hmm. for your final piece.
Sure.
You are so creative in your programming that you've started a couple of series, and mm-hmm. one is based in New York. Can mm-hmm. you let us know about that?
Yes, that's called The Last Soiree. It's I was inspired by seeing a Schubertiad, how all the music forms were happening, you know, in one evening, with poetry, with painting, with art, everything. So I thought it's a really, really immersive experience to have all the art genres happening at once. The other one would be more relevant to the Philly audience, which is happening in Fishtown. And actually, we're very lucky that Heifetz on tour will bring us to Fishtown tonight.
Oh.
It's a very, very special occasion. So, you know, thanks to Ben Rowe to make this happen. So we're making our last stop here tonight at 7 p.m. in Fishtown.
Fishin' in Sea, I believe, is the name of your series,
which
is a great title. And I also wanted to mention quickly that your recital on Sunday for mm-hmm. Astral Artists at the American Philosophical Society, 3 p.m.,
yes.
is a Steinway Spotlight performance sponsored by Jacobs Music. And you have just recorded for the Steinway & Sons label.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So it was my first album with them. It's called Melancholy. That's mm-hmm. the name of the album. Because of the repertoire choices, and it just released this August. So I'm really... I recently got some reviews, and I was really just pleased to see that some people liked my recording. Oh. And I was really, really honored to see a review actually by Gramophone recently. And I just... couldn't believe that.
Congratulations. Yeah. Well, we'll have to make sure we play that on the air here at WRTI.
Oh, thank you.
I think it's time for your last piece, Jenny. What would you like to play for us?
Sure. So as we're talking about Debussy and Orientalism, so I'm thinking about including the one with the Far East influence, Poisson d'Or, from his Image Book 2.
Okay.
Thank you.
That was stunning.
Thank you.
So beautiful. We've just heard pianist Jenny Lee perform Poisson d'Or, Goldfish from Claude Debussy's Image Book 2. And she'll be performing that this coming Sunday on her Philadelphia debut recital for Astral Artists at the American Philosophical Society at 3 o'clock. So I hope everyone has a chance to hear you. It's going to be a great recital, Jenny. Thank you so much for coming in to perform for us.
Thank you, Deborah. Thank you so much for having me. And come and we have some wine afterwards, too.
Okay. Even more motivation. Thank you so much.